Hey, this is Kent here at MindChange, and we will be having a Q&R episode coming up soon. We'd love to respond to your questions in this audience-driven episode, so please send them to podcast@mindchange.com. When you send in your questions, please attach an audio recording of it, stating your name, where you are from, and then clearly asking your question for us. Please also transcribe your question in written form on the email when you send it in. We look forward to hearing from you.
There's like a natural essence to everyone, and it's a blend. It's a blend of our emotional body, our physical body, our mental body, and we kind of have this natural essence that we're born with, and we develop through childhood. Most people, until they get to this point, this like awakening point or this change point, they're simply just reacting to usually the unhealthy version that either they experience or their parents experience that was passed down to them. If you know it up here and you're like, okay, I want to do it different, but it's not embodied, you haven't regulated in your nervous system. When stress arises, we default back to the most unconscious parts of ourselves. And that's how we were raised from our parents. And so the ability to regulate, slow down, allows you to then choose differently.
Welcome back to the Mind Change Podcast. Today, we're talking about something that almost everyone has experienced, but very few people actually understand. Why do you keep ending up in the same types of relationships? Why do the same arguments show up, just with different people? Or why do you find yourself playing the same role over and over again? Overgiving, overcontrolling, shutting down, people-pleasing, even if you know better. A lot of people right now are turning to conversations around masculine and feminine energy, often what's called polarity, to try to make sense of these patterns. My guest today, Chris Marhefka, works deeply in this space. He's a master coach, retreat facilitator, and co-founder of the men's movement 13 Pines. He's worked with thousands of clients on emotional healing, relationships, leadership, and what it really means to show up in life. But today, I want to go a layer deeper than just behavior, because understanding how you show up is one thing. Understanding why you can't seem to change is something else entirely. So we're going to explore polarity, masculine and feminine dynamics, and also look at what might be driving those patterns underneath the surface. Before we dive in, please take a moment right now to like, subscribe, and download. We have a great season ahead of us, and you don't want to miss a single episode. So welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Good to have you.
Jinx. Yes. Okay. So you mean a lot to Kent and I. We've had the honor and privilege of working with you in many capacities for the last, year?
Mm-hmm. Well, I've known Chris for about almost 2 years now. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. And just such a great thing to be able to bring you on. What I would like to do for our audience today is do what we're going to kind of call polarity 101. And so for someone who has never heard the term polarity or even masculine, feminine energy, so outside of sex, outside of gender, how would you explain that in real terms to somebody? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the first thing I would say is that for all the talk that there is in the space around polarity, it's not a human constructed idea. It's not like this magic idea that we came up with. It's actually naturally occurring. And it's this idea that everything that's manifest in form, including all of us, are manifest with opposites. So there's like two sides of the same coin. And so one of the major principles to understand as we dive deeper and deeper into this is that there's not one is better than the other. They both have gifts. They both have shadows. They both have, call it healthy or toxic. And it's important to recognize that no matter where we fall on the spectrum, there is always an opposite to that. And the idea of consciously creating polarity is this idea, like magnets, that you can create a tension or like an energetic excitement between two poles or between two extremes. And so when it comes to us as humans, a lot of what we feel is like attraction energy is simply just a polarity between two opposite and opposing forces. And when done consciously, or another way to say it, with intention, that can create like a really dynamic, infinite attraction loop. When we talk about it with humans, that's incredibly beneficial to relationships. In fact, I would say quite necessary, with the day in, day out that happens with life. We can kind of lose that natural initial attraction that we feel with someone to the bills and the to-do lists and the raising kids, and that can all get lost. And so learning how to consciously create that magnetism again is a really powerful way to keep attraction energy alive. And one of the easiest ways to talk about like masculine and feminine energies is with the analogy. One of the easiest analogies to understand is a river and a river bank. And so the river bank would be the masculine energy. It's the structure. It's the unmovable. It's the fixed. And the river moving through it would be the feminine. It's constantly in motion. Water's never stopped. It's all over the place. And without the riverbank, you wouldn't actually have a river. You would have just a chaotic flood causing destruction everywhere. And without the river itself and the water moving through it, and you would just have a dried up pile of dirt. And so the river and the feminine brings the beauty and the excitement and the creativity to life. And the masculine brings the structure to hold it. So that's like the kind of the easiest like 101 way to describe the difference between those two. And then there's infinite points in between those, of course.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to thank you for that. It gives really solid structure to everything that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. So, very masculine. Yes,
and the reason that we brought you on. But I would love to just share for a moment, like this polarity that you're talking about. You said, obviously you talked about the relational dynamic, but mm-hmm. it's in everything. Right? And mm-hmm. so introducing our audience to this on a deeper level is really important because, as you know, as our audience who've listened to us, Heather and I have gone through a lot of ups and downs mm-hmm. in our relationship and in a lot of different ways in our relationship. And as we dug into all of this mind change work, the subconscious reprogramming and like how we're holding memory and how we're holding wounds and all these other things, that has helped our relationship immensely get out of the old programs. And yet it wasn't until maybe 2.5 years ago that I even was exposed mm-hmm. to anything that we're going to really be diving into today. Mm-hmm. And the reason that's so important is because in mind change, it's not just like do this one thing and it's done. It's about mind-body connection, whatever we can do to level mm-hmm. up, to grow, to transform. And this has been a really vital, important thing in our relationship, but also in our life, right? Yeah. Because it's not just our relationship. It's our business relationship. Mm-hmm. It's our parenting relationship. Yeah. It's everything that we do. And there is a polarity to everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so for me, recognizing over the last number of years how much I was actually holding a feminine pole in mm-hmm. a lot of areas in our relationship
yeah.
and how that was actually not helping mm-hmm. in even in our romantic relationship because it overlaps.
Yeah.
So anyways, that is one of the main reasons that we wanted to bring you on is because you have been inundated not just with the information and the awareness, mm-hmm. but you've embodied it for so many years and are teaching it and helping other mm-hmm. people. And so I'm really excited that you're here and I'm grateful for you. You've yeah. helped our business, you've helped our relationship mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways. And obviously in all the men's work that mm-hmm. I've been doing, mm-hmm. that's you've come in to play so often. Yeah. So I just want to say thank you for being here. And this is really the reason that we're bringing this to our audience.
Yeah.
So.
And Chris, you mentioned when speaking about polarity, mm-hmm. and just for anyone listening, when we say poles, it's not P-U-L-L.
Yes.
It's pole, like North Pole, South Pole, uh-huh. right? And you mentioned about magnets and attraction. Yep. Mm-hmm. And so before someone's just like, oh, I'm perfectly attracted to my spouse, that I don't probably need this. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that, right?
Correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I know for Kent and I, just to share a little bit personally, something that we thought just was a unique dynamic of our relationship is we started seeking help quite early, really quickly after marriage. I think we joined a marriage group to go through a particular book, you know, to learn mm-hmm. marriage skills. Mm-hmm. And I quickly realized that, or if we would get with other couples, that I was way more strongly attracted to, not physically or romantically, mm-hmm. to the men.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I felt like, I hear what you're saying.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes, he does that to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like with the husbands.
And mm-hmm. I'm like with the wife.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I know. It's so feel that way.
Yeah.
uh-huh.
And I was infinitely perplexed by that.
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
Oh, we feel at home. We feel like comfortable with those that are like-minded, like being, like feeling. And so there's like a comfort there. There's a at-homeness. And when we talk about the like attraction, it's important to like parse out what that actually means in itself, because like when you're around people that are similar to you and they're vibrating on a similar pole as you, more masculine, more feminine, it can be easier with them. And that can feel very easeful in a relationship. And it's kind of like a neutral place that a lot of people get to. They get to this comfort, if you will. And so when talking about like this level of attraction, there's actually a tension involved with it. There's a little bit of friction that happens as you pull a rubber band apart towards two opposing ends. There's something that's being generated in the middle. And so when it's not done, again, with intention or consciousness, it can get really messy. It can get really fiery and heated. And also, it's like what brings the magnetism to life, the electricity to life. It brings out our differences and allows us to be more of ourselves when we're actually around and being supported by the opposite end of that pole. And so you said it a little bit earlier, is like these are really naturally occurring, but they have nothing to do with male, female. They have mm-hmm. nothing to do with men, women, and they're naturally occurring in all of us. And so all of us have both part masculine and part feminine. And one way to think about how we show up in the world and how we show up in our relationships, there's like a natural essence to everyone. And it's a blend. It's a blend of our emotional body, our physical body, our mental body. And we kind of have this natural essence that we're born with and we develop through childhood. And there's also a conditioned place that a lot of people feel comfortable. And it's important to understand the difference between those two, because our conditioned isn't always our most authentic expression. It's just the place we learn to be comfortable in. And that's the part that comes a lot from how we were raised and our conditioning and our parenting and all that stuff. But the closer we can get to unprogramming and deconditioning the stuff that we learn to be, the more we can align to our natural self and our authentic self and what feels the most alive for us, not just the most comfortable. And those are two very different things.
So I love what you're saying, and I want to bring it to like a concrete mm-hmm. example. For me, when I first started hearing about this, I thought, oh, in my essence, mm-hmm. I'm just more masculine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I really would have.
Yeah.
I would have thought that for mm-hmm. sure. I know now through working through so much of the layers of mm-hmm. my conditioning, my programming, the subconscious work, and it took some years to get down to the ooey gooey center. Mm-hmm. Not at all my essence to be masculine.
Yeah.
So conditioned, mm-hmm. but I would have argued and yep. fought for the fact that it was probably my essence. Mm-hmm. How often do you see that it's really so much of our conditioning speaking to that one way or the other?
I would say that it's pretty much universal until you start going through inner work. Really, we all have some layer of conditioning that takes us outside of our essence. And until you start unpacking that and like peeling away the layers of conditioning, it feels like who you are. And it is, in a way. It is, in a way. It's who you've learned and who you are on a daily basis. And it can feel it can feel like the safest place to be. And so, yeah, like for you, and this goes both ways, because especially over the last few generations, women have been conditioned to be more masculine. And so you kind of have this internal pull in a lot of women between what they were taught and how to survive in a man's world, because a lot of our greater culture is highly masculine, and it's about problem solving and achievement and getting ahead and all these. They're all masculine qualities.
And by greater, you mean larger?
Yeah. Larger. Yeah. Not our higher, but the larger culture that yes. most of us were raised in, that's the case. And so a lot of women have been stepping more into developing their masculine, and not always in healthy ways, but it's come out of almost like a cultural need for women, because they haven't felt safe with the masculine. So they've really overly developed their own. And likewise with men, they've started to access and almost been pushed into accessing more of their feminine. But unfortunately, they've abandoned a lot of the masculine qualities in doing that. And so one of the things to really think about in polarity is it's not about only being on one end or the other, but it's actually about this idea of having range and the ability to go the whole spectrum and really bringing forward in yourself what is needed for the moment and what is needed for that time. Because with someone who's overly in their masculine, they're going to be putting up a lot of walls and a lot of masks and a lot of things to block themselves from feeling the deeper part of themselves. And in connection with really anything, with another person, with nature, with our work, to feel a deep connection, we have to go into the feeling. But having these toxic, what you would call masculine qualities of like blocking that off or suppressing that, it doesn't allow that beauty and uniqueness to come through. And on the feminine side, the feminine has pretty much been taught in our world that it's not safe. It's not safe to feel, it's not safe to go into those places. And so I have to like build up so that I'm strong enough. And it results in no one ever seeing that.
Yeah. I know in looking and knowing these things, it sort of gave us, first it was all the subconscious rewiring where we're like, oh, our programs brought us together.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
More feminine yeah. learned, uh-huh. feminine qualities.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And not even like healthy feminine. Like,
right.
Yeah, not yeah. even like soft and this, just like whatever. Mm-hmm. You can call it whatever you want.
Well, I think it's good to get
yeah.
down to specific. The, because people will resonate with that mm-hmm. and hear what we're saying on a more practical level. So me growing up with my parents divorcing mm-hmm. early, single mother, mm-hmm. abusive men, you know, a lot of that stuff, and hearing my mom, I think, doing her best, mm-hmm. telling me never rely on a man, yeah. and watching what she was mm-hmm. going through, and then also stepping into a sort of a rescue older than I should have been at a young age, that really helped shape mm-hmm. me feeling more comfortable in the masculine. Mm-hmm. It was trying to create order,
yep.
trying to be productive, mm-hmm. trying to avoid chaos mm-hmm. at all. That was too much of it mm-hmm. outside. And so shaping me into thinking I was a label. So I'm a tomboy mm-hmm. or I'm a, you know, like more hanging with the guys. I'm not really into, I'm not girly like that. And a lot of those things kind of shaping my identity. Mm-hmm. And then when then you go and seek a mate, mm-hmm. and you think you're attracted for certain reasons. And when I can step back and look now, I was like, oh, it's like totally our programs. Mm-hmm. Had Ken been strongly in his masculine, I would not have wanted anything to do with him. And probably vice versa, if I would have been overly in my feminine energy. And I love calling them more the energies because they're what we can kind of pull out and expand into, right? I would not have been attractive to him. So it's so interesting when you've got a 25-year... Is that how long we've been married?
Ish.
Rounded.
See, again, I think this is a thing too. I'm like, dates, anniversaries, I don't know. He's like, and don't you remember the smell of the flowers on the day of...
Beautiful.
But at this point in our marriage, you know, realizing we've healed so many things... We have to choose one another again on a different level, knowing what we know. His essence, he may have argued his essence was more feminine and my, I would have argued mine was more masculine. Dealing with our trauma.
I would have argued it was masculine, feeling very wounded by someone saying, can't believe that you think I'm more feminine, whatever. But the truth of the matter is, yeah, there was this part of me that was really, in one sense, my upbringing sort of like pushing away what I considered toxic masculinity, which actually took me away from most of any masculinity. But anyways, so I cut you off.
And can I share vulnerably?
Yes.
I was told by a couple of people in our getting with many, many different marriage counselors and therapists and various things, that it was quite possible my husband was gay, closeted. And that I might need to come to terms with that. And I shudder to think, had I really listened to that and gone down that route, or maybe even if he was in such a vulnerable place to hear that and take that and consider that, when now I know what was being witnessed, but not really known by what we would have maybe given power to a professional of some nature. And I do think that that is some of the conversation that we are in our world today, not understanding how this stuff plays out and what it practically looks like. So that's what it practically looked like for me to be in my masculine. I was a survivor, and I was like, okay, to survive, I need to do these things. And it very much played into that. And then you don't want to go against it because it's what saved you, right? It's what rescued you in these ways. It's how you survived. For me to be asked to be more feminine, I would have thought that meant to be more weak, more messy, more emotional. And those things didn't seem safe to me. And I think, and I won't speak for you, so maybe you can speak into how that manifested in you being more in your feminine.
Sure, yeah. So correct about all the things you just said. And I even think what Chris was talking about, how we're kind of pulled towards something different than maybe even not our essence, but different than what we're holding in the moment. I was pulled towards the strength that you had and the, and part of that programming. I mean, listen, there's part of me that was like, man, she's wild and beautiful and all of that. And that's great. But the part of me that grew up learning to submit in so many different ways, like suppressing my own desires, wishes, wants, suppressing, just my even like vocalization of what I feel or think. I learned to just kind of let other people take the lead even of my own life. And so what did that do? It put me in a place that seemed more feminine of like, oh, whatever you want. And that was one of the things even in our marriage, like, I don't know, where do you want to go to eat? And I don't care, whatever you want. Like, that's a very feminine thing to say, hey, I'll let you lead. Like, I trust you. And you had built up this very strong, safe container within yourself that I'm like, I can jump into that. I've jumped into that my whole life. But what was actually going on was this part of me that was just shut down and suppressed. Mm-hmm. And so when I was able to allow some of those things to come up, it wasn't that I was just, oh, I just like being more feminine or whatever. It wasn't safe to be in a masculine position because I didn't even know what that in a healthy way mm-hmm. was. Mm. And I would tell you growing up, I much preferred being around women. Yeah. Like in my teens and my 20s, it was just like easier to connect. Mm-hmm. And that's that whole thing you're talking mm-hmm. about is it's like when we're kind of on the same pole, yeah. it's like, oh, there's no like tension here. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's just easy. uh-huh. And when I actually learned to step into the masculine, like a healthy masculine essence that is actually me, man, I love being around men. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, oh my, and like I lead a team of women right now. Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh, just to be around men yeah. is so good right uh-huh. now. So when we're doing men's work, mm-hmm. when I'm at these retreats, when I'm doing mm-hmm. it's like, ah, oh, it's like a breath of fresh air because that's what I've learned mm-hmm. now is mm-hmm. actually more comforting, more safe. So
yeah. I'm interested, how did you're kind of hearing and have witnessed how we yeah. came into this. How did yeah. you get into this work?
Yeah, I mean, I came up through a very masculine upbringing of like achievement and pursuits and to make a long story short, it was like to my own detriment. I ignored my body, ignored what I was feeling, and it led at 30 years old to like a cascading waterfall of health issues. And like, I got to a point where I was like, I can't go anymore like this. And I was 30 and I had a capillaries in my brain burst from exertion headaches. And I was just going through so much pain, but up until that point I was suppressing. And so I kind of hit this threshold where I was like, I can't keep suppressing, which would be the harmful masculine, this any longer. And there, it was just exploding out of me, these feelings and this intuition and this knowing. And I almost like threw up my hands. I was like, okay, off all this that I learned is correct, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Because I had achieved in the masculine world. I had achieved in the thinking and the problem-solving world and the figuring things out. And yet I was so unhappy. And so my pursuit was really first to find the feeling in myself. It was to find the expression and to find the emotion. And I was so scared of going into that place. Like that was the deep, dark cave that I did not want to go into. And fortunately, just easing in and being facilitated through it and having some great people to support me through it, I was able to find the beauty in it, in the feeling. And I was also able to find that I could hold myself in that place. There's a safety there and I didn't have to avoid it any longer. And so a big part of the, call it like maturing or growing up is coming back to wholeness and realizing that both those things exist in us and we can access all of them at any time. And unfortunately, most people, until they get to this point, this like awakening point or this change point, they're simply just reacting to usually the unhealthy version that either they experience or their parents experience that was passed down to them. And it's just a series of reaction to get away from this thing that we can't feel or don't want to feel or is unsafe to feel. And for me, that was feeling for sure. Mm. And and it was a process of, I like to think of it like a pendulum swinging. A lot of times this work happens that way. And so for me, I swung from this highly structured every minute plan, this like suppressing any sort of feeling whatsoever into complete flow and complete ease. And there's,
for me, there was a huge gift in that because I got to experience it. And then after a few years of being in that place, I was in this healing, feeling place, I started to realize that like, there's a lot of things I didn't like about being there. And it was like, oh, I didn't have structure. I'm late for everything. I'm like, I'm not trustable anymore because I'm not honoring my word because I don't feel like it. And so, so there was like, it had to swing over a little bit to experience both the gift and also a little bit of the shadow. To then swing a little bit more back. And I think a lot of our healing journey is just a process of that, finding the swing of the pendulum of what we need in any season and allowing it to happen, because there will be a time when it swings back a little bit more. And over time, I think those swings get subtler and subtler. I think that's the goal. Because we've gone to the ends, we've felt both ends of the spectrum, and we learn how to embody them and bring them out when it's needed. We're no longer avoiding, we're no longer reacting just because we don't want to go a place. And I think that's just it's a process of maturing, honestly.
I absolutely love that you brought up the point of in the toxic masculine or the unhealthy masculine, you have no access to your body, mm-hmm. really. And it makes me think of how many women and men, but a lot of women, we are seeing catastrophic rises mm-hmm. in autoimmune disorders. Mm-hmm. I mean, so many so that we have to continue to add syndromes. Yep. And it really spoke to me because I know that was one of my issues that was fueling my chronic disease when I was back doing that, was the not feeling. And that is just another version of being in that unhealthy masculine yeah. of the control and trying to keep everything together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know for me, one of the ways that that manifested was trying to find help mm-hmm. was the thing I was also doing in the masculine, wasn't feeling my feelings, wasn't getting into my body, wasn't hearing the messages, but I was meticulously researching how to get better and going from one thing to another yeah. thing and another thing and another thing. And mm-hmm. I was like doing such a good job.
Yeah.
At that, being very productive uh-huh. and dying
yep.
at the same time.
Because it's all still up here.
It's all up here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. And the conscious mind, especially, like I was, I would have, if someone would have been like, that's all in your head, I would have been like, yeah, and I'm trying to figure it out. Yeah. And that's like, uh-huh. why isn't it working? But for me, it was also the subconscious stuff with the stuff that was driving the responses in my body mm-hmm. that finally got me well. Yeah. But I think that's such an interesting point. I think that some of what we're dealing with today, amidst all the wonderful things we're dealing with, but is a lot of women being in that masculine because they don't feel safe.
Yeah, it's a really good thing to point out. And it's obvious when it's external. So the masculine suppression or abuse or hurt of the feeling body, when we see it external, is obvious. You're like, okay, that's harmful. That's toxic. That's not good. But what a lot of people don't realize is they're doing that to themselves. They're self-abusing when they cut off from the neck down. And that's really what's you get into a battle with yourself. You're literally battling your body. You're battling Mother Nature, which is our physical vessel here. Mm-hmm. And so it's another form of abuse. So oftentimes in things like the over masculinizing of women, it's like they're literally just embodying the thing that they don't want in the world, and they're just doing it to themselves.
Oh, that's a moment right there. That's a viral moment right there. We're gonna have to make sure to pull that one out. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So maybe we can explain a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's give some versions of mm-hmm. what would healthy masculinity look like,
yeah.
and then maybe some unhealthy,
yeah.
and the same for feminine, just to give people kind of little yeah. bookmarks into that.
Yeah, it's a really good, really good idea. The definition that I use for like whether it's good or bad, masculine, is does it cause harm? If it causes harm, it's what we would call harmful or toxic or hurtful. Does it help? That would be the positive aspect of that, the gift of it. And so creating, like you said earlier, like creating a structure, creating a frame, having a schedule of time, doing planning, thinking ahead, like all of these moving towards a goal. It allows us to, how should I say, progress, progress in the material way. It's like you can't build a house by feeling a house. You have to plan it and you have to have these steps. You're like, okay, first we'll put the concrete, then we'll put the foundation. And those are all masculine qualities. It's no coincidence that there's generally more masculine people that go into those fields that require the qualities of planning and structure and engineering and things like that. It's because that is what those things, that's what those careers are, is just highly masculine. And when done towards a positive goal or a positive outcome, it's helpful. So like, for instance, in like me as a father, like when I say, okay, we need to leave in 30 minutes and to be there on time for this thing that we want to be at. And okay, to do that, I know this has got to be in the bag. We've got to have waters and we got to have a milk set up and we got to have extra diapers and all these things. Like, those are all masculine qualities. You have foresight, you're thinking ahead, you're observing what's happening. And within my case, it's a 2-year-old daughter and a wife, and they're running around. Should I wear this? Should I wear this? And so I'm like, okay, this is what I need to bring to this moment to help move it along towards something. We could stay in that all day long, but we would miss out on this other thing that we really want to go to and do. And so that's where the masculine is extremely valuable, is creating the structure and moving things forward. And, yeah, and the toxic is anything, or the harmful is anything that has those same qualities to them, but it's hurtful. It's like imposing will where will doesn't want to be imposed. It's imposing an idea or an action without the consent. It's like this is what I want, so we're moving forward. It's like, this is just what I think needs to happen, so I do it. And it's a very without awareness to everyone else or anything else. It's just like a head down, blinders on, whether it causes harm or not. And I honestly look at the way that a lot of our society operates has a lot of harmful masculine qualities, because if you think about it, even just the idea of capitalism, it's the worship of capital at all costs. And that means harm to the employees. They don't get take care of the people. We don't take care of the earth and the resources. And we don't really have a care for how it gets done, as long as we're in the pursuit of this goal called capital. And so that would be one example where it achieves the goal, but at what cost? And that's really where the harmful qualities of the masculine have shown up a lot in our culture, is just move forward at all costs, achieve at all costs, suppress or walk over anything that's in the way.
And how many people relate to that?
Yeah.
The way they grew up with mm-hmm. a father, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even school.
Suppressed feeling. School is highly masculine. It's like, you learn
it this way, yep. mm-hmm. or
you right know. Or wrong. It's very just, this is it. And we're telling you what it is, get it right on the test, that you're measured, you're whatever. And so, yeah, even like school. And it's funny because babies are born, all babies are actually born feminine. They're born pure expression. Masculine qualities, consciousness, is something that develops over time. And what happens is we force these brand new feminine full expression beings into these rules before they're actually ready to understand them. And so we're teaching them unhealthy masculine just by forcing them into these what we think are good adult ideas of how children should be and behave, mm-hmm. calling them manners and these school rules and all this stuff. But really we're just modeling healthy masculine, because it's like, look, no, I want to play. I'm a baby. I'm a 3-year-old, I'm a 4-year-old, 5-year-old. I want to play. I want to explore. I want to laugh. And they're like, no, you can't do that. That's literally unhealthy masculine at play. And that's why so many people grow up without a good experience of what healthy masculine is, because it's happening before we even realize. It's not just the adult stuff that's at play. It's actually happening much, much younger. It's like, even like as a baby, like changing a baby's diaper before they're ready. As weird as that sounds, like, and this is kind of going into our parenting style, and we listen and we respect our child as a human being. And what it's showing at least what I've seen now that she's two, is that she respects now the healthy masculine because she knows the difference. Like, this isn't just them, these grown up babies imposing their will on me. It's like, she actually feels there's an importance there. There's a weight to it. And so she understands and she listens because we respect, okay, like, we're going to do it on her schedule now. Like, we're going to allow her to be her. We're going to maybe take 30 seconds longer to change her diaper because we want her to regulate and like be ready for us to do it and allow it forward, consent to it. So yeah.
Which just speaks to the work that you guys have done. Because yeah. So many people get these ideas, I want to do it different than my parents did it. Mm-hmm. And then they try to do it, but they don't actually have the internal regulation.
Yeah.
They have not faced
they
just know they don't want to do it like their parents. And then they repeat exactly the way they did it because they haven't created a different learning in its place.
Yeah, because if you know it up here and you're like, okay, I want to do it different, but it's not embodied, you haven't regulated in your nervous system. When stress arises, we default back to the most unconscious parts of ourselves. And that's how we were raised from our parents. And so, even with the best intentions in the world, like without going through this deeper inner work, it comes out when stress comes out and relationships are stress and kids are stress. Mm-hmm. The ability to regulate, slow down allows you to then choose differently.
And we're seeing this in so many young women. My daughters have a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old, and I'm hearing what they're exposed to, and there's so much man bashing and hatred. Yeah. And I know enough to know what they're rebelling against is this more toxic version that we've been exposed to. And what's the answer of rebelling against the toxic version, but creating somewhere to see what it looks like when it's healthy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is like really going into, we touched on the masculine a lot, but that also applies to the feminine. Like, that's the unhealthy of the feminine. Mm. Just the...
Oh yeah, speak to that.
Yeah. It's literally just spewing poison everywhere for harming others. And so we're very aware of it when it's abuse of the masculine, because it's all oftentimes overbearing, it's physical, there's like a power to it. But the abuse of the feminine is the emotional manipulation. It's the feeling sense to cut through and to, I like the word poison, just spew poison on everyone. And so the emasculation of men is really the unhealthy feminine coming, arising, and it's not good for anyone. And
everybody loses,
whether it's the unhealthy masculine or the unhealthy feminine. It's unhealthy. Everybody loses. Period. And so when it comes to like, what do we do about it? It's at some point we as grown up adult in adult bodies have to grow up and mature. Mature is the word that I use. We have to mature to take a higher road. And a higher road simply means at some point we have to work through the things in ourselves that are causing us, quote unquote, causing us to be this unhealthy version. Just to be this harmful version, whether it's masculine or feminine. We have to face those things. We have to work through those things, feel good enough in ourselves to then choose differently, to choose helpful, to choose loving, to choose caring, to choose devotional. But you can't have access to those higher qualities if you don't work through all the unconscious stuff that's currently running the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually, that'd be a great segue into this next part, which is, okay, there is a difference. This is a statement before a question. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference between awareness and learning of these things. Like, oh, I've listened to one podcast or I've read a couple of books on this. Uh-huh. You can learn a lot of things about stepping into a healthy masculine or stepping into a healthy feminine or how to not be the toxic, whatever. There's a lot out there. So you could find that. Is information enough? No, because you said you have to embody it. And so that's the whole thing of like, what do we do with people in general who like they more put things on. Now I'm guilty of that. Like 100% and this came from my unhealthy masculine of Heather wants something to change. I'll change it.
Yeah.
And look at me and give me praise and all of that, which is, you know, needing validation and whatever. Yeah. But there, let's just say she is so much more aware of when I'm actually embodying a masculine versus I'm performing. Right. Yeah. And so, yeah, what, I mean, there's a lot of people that maybe will try to step into things. What do we do instead of just try or perform?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's the exact same with the feminine as well, the performative masculine, performative feminine. And so awareness is the first step always, because we can't change anything we're not aware of. So that light bulb moment that we would call it, that awakening moment, that aha moment, is it feels like a huge shift because we now have this whole new perspective of ourselves or others. And it's great. It's amazing. It's really useful, but it's the starting line of this path of maturing. Mm-hmm. And thinking that it's the finish line is the kind of like washing machine that a lot of people get caught up on. They just get more awareness and they're like, oh, I'm more developed. And they're just more aware of the unconscious shadows that are coming. They're not unconscious anymore. They're now conscious of them, which calls upon, it actually calls upon some masculine qualities of will and choice and perseverance to work and patience to work through them. So that while we're figuring them out, we stay the course. And so at first, it almost always is performative in a way, like a texture of it doesn't feel like us yet. And that's okay. And that's what a lot of these like containers, like retreats and programs and working with coaches is all about. It's almost about like role play. It's like, hey, I'm now aware of something. I want to change something. I want to develop in a way. How can I do it in a healthy place that it doesn't have consequences and repercussions, that if I like try it out in the world and I don't really know how to do it, how it goes. And so it's a good place to, it's what we call it, practice. It's like, it's a good place to practice these things. And I will say that neither one of these energies, the word we've used a lot is embodiment. Neither one of these energies comes from thinking about being more masculine or thinking about being more feminine. That is just a mental exercise in performance of like, what do I need to do to be more masculine or to be more feminine? But it's still up here. And so the felt sense, like you said, is she can tell the difference between performance and embodiment. The felt sense happens by everything from the neck down, our body. It's how we sit. It's how we move. It's how we breathe. And there's qualities of our body that when expressed are more masculine, and there's qualities of our body that expressed are more feminine. It's actually quite simple. Masculine qualities of our body is stillness, calmness, peace, nothingness. It's when we have a straight spine, when we're not moving, we're just in our center. Think of like the oak tree, deeply rooted, branches open, and we're just there. And feminine is movement. It's allowing the body to move and all the joints and muscles and fascia to articulate and express with whatever sensations are arising. And both of those are such a strange concept to dive into for your first time and to explore what that actually means. But to make it really practical, for those wanting to embody and not just have more information about being more masculine, it's to simply just sit and to breathe deeply. And to, there's actually, I speak on it. There's a great book. It's Shambhala, The Path of the Sacred Warrior. And there's a meditation in there. They call it the Warrior's Meditation. And it's really just a masculine meditation. And it's on every inhale, you're straining your spine, you're finding more length, more structure in your body. And on every exhale, you're relaxing into it without losing the structure. that's masculine. Your soft front and a straight, strong spine and structure of your body. And on feminine, it's learning how to feel into deeper and deeper parts of your body, deeper corners, and turn your awareness down into the sensations and allow them to move through you and express through you through breath and through sound and through movement, and completely out of how it should look or what needs to come up. And that's like basically the two ends of that spectrum. Like when we want to bring in the idea of embodiment, it's pure expression is feminine and pure nothing or stillness, pure consciousness or awareness is masculine. Mm-hmm. And so we can practice that. We can practice that at any moment. We can bring more of that. And for accessing like more feminine, you're just like, what's the sensation that I'm feeling in my body? And how does that want to come out right now? Does it want to come out in a word, in a sound, in a thought, in any sort of movement or expression, and allowing it to happen without judgment, without needing it to be a certain way.
So these spaces you're talking about where you can practice, mm-hmm. whether that's retreat, whether that's a container, yeah. whether that's on your own, right? Yeah. Just practicing mm-hmm. these Practice. Things. You also mentioned how in our nervous system, if certain things and learned behaviors or wounds or whatever aren't actually dealt with, we will default mm-hmm. back to mm-hmm. whatever we had before, mm-hmm. right? So how important is it to deal with the deeper things rather than, again, like, oh, so it's not just learning about, now I'll embody it, now yeah. I'll perform it, now I'll mm-hmm. practice it. Mm-hmm. But we still haven't actually yeah. moved these memories, mm-hmm. feelings, sensations, beliefs, pain, whatever we're holding from within.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, I really believe in the foundation of healing work. The key to all of it is our nervous system, because all these things that even we're talking about, like practicing, they have to be done in a down-regulated state, which is just a safe state, our parasympathetic nervous system. And for them to really soak in, if we're doing them from a stressed or a sympathetic, we're just simply just performing. We're trying to do something to get out of this moment, basically. And so the key is definitely learning how to regulate your nervous system. And the key to unlock that is really the breath. And it's learning how to safely breathe at any moment. And it's learning how to take all of the chaos and the fears and the worries and the judgments and all the things that happen in this mind space and allow them to quiet down with the pace of your breath. And so the more you can slow down we talked about retreats and we talked about practicing, but they all have a component of this. Mm-hmm. You first have to down-regulate yourself. And it's the reason why just learning more doesn't work, because you're learning from a place of, I need to change, or I'm afraid of being. And so there's like this fear. There's this fear component of it that you're not actually receiving the information. And so step one is regulate the nervous system. And then step two is getting in these postures, in these practices, in these things that allow these energies to come out in a safe way. And in doing the nervous system regulation and in doing the practices, that's when things come up. More and more layers come up the deeper we go into ourselves. Like doing masculine practice, all the stuff comes up of like how much you don't want to be here and don't want to do this and get out of this moment and eject from this. And same thing with the feminine practice. You'd be like, oh, that's stupid. Don't want to do that. Don't want to go into that. I don't need to do that. I don't feel that. And you're just creating all these like walls and choices to not go into these uncomfortable places.
And to go to those uncomfortable places, you have to feel safe. And safety comes from regulating the nervous system. And there's really no way around that that I've found, is you can't think your way through your deepest wounds. Mm-hmm. You can't learn your way through the deepest traumas. Like they actually have to be gone into in a safe way. And usually that involves being held by a coach, a facilitator, or someone who's leading a retreat that is skilled in that.
And not being physically held.
Yeah.
Although
yeah,
sometimes yeah. maybe
structurally held. Yes. Energetically yes. held. Yeah.
And the masculine holds.
Right.
As the feminine correct. Wounds are.
Yeah. The healing is the feminine. It's very feeling and going into those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you really realize once you go on your own healing journey, like how pure and sensitive the feminine in all of us really is. And that's how you can start to actually respect and really worship the feminine in others when you feel it in yourself. So like, that's how I was able to ever really respect a woman, is like, I first had to really honor like how gentle and sensitive that was in myself and how much care it really takes to get to that place. So that when I want to support someone, whether it's my partner or in retreat and helping others get there, I have this deep awareness of what's actually required to get there. I can't force it out of someone. It has to be safe and it has to be calm and it has to be allowed at its own pace. Mm-hmm. And so the embodying it like with others requires us to do it with ourselves first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd love to get your perspective on this.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I'm on a small little side mission
yeah.
with the talk around nervous system regulation out there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I'm listening and hearing things that sound good mm-hmm. and I get, and are still missing a piece of the conversation. Mm. So for instance, I've spent a lot of time in body work, breath work, mm-hmm. movement, you know, even some of these practices and somatic stuff. And I'm still seeing places where things are not actually resolving. Mm-hmm. And I think that what's supporting the conversation out there is the only alternative thus far has been talk therapy. Mm-hmm. So that's when we're saying you can't deal with it in the mind yeah. because that approach has been a talk therapy approach. And I think that's where honestly our work is so important, because anyone who listens knows we are very deeply rooted in neuroscience. Yeah. And one of the main regulators, if not the main, the heart has a lot to do with this mm-hmm. as well, but is our brain. Mm-hmm. Take the brain out, the nervous system does not function. Mm-hmm. And it's really our subconscious programming mm-hmm. that also needs to be dealt with. Yeah. And again, in a safe place. But I mean, I've seen people breathe and I've seen stuff come up in breath work. And really people, from my perspective, being a practitioner, watching people sit in it and knowing what that's doing from a neuroscience perspective, mm-hmm. which is rehearsing it,
yep. mm-hmm.
deepening those neural pathways.
Yeah.
And that I'm like, there's more to the conversation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I know, just as an example, we were in a practice and it was a 3-day event. So it wasn't just an initial practice, and we're with people we'd been with before. So you can see progression. And a woman really doing her work, that was hers at the time. And in the company of what I would call safe masculine. Mm-hmm. And the thing, she just kept dysregulating and kept dysregulating. And it wasn't that she wasn't
yeah.
really doing everything. Mm-hmm. It's that what kept being brought up was a very traumatic sexual
yeah.
abuse, you know, a rape. And so from my perspective and what I know about mm-hmm. the way the brain affects the body and the nervous system, that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah.
because I do feel like she can breathe and breathe and breathe and breathe. And maybe if someone goes and does breath work for 10 mm-hmm. years, maybe, although I've had people come to my, sit with me who've instructed breath work for 10 years. And they're like, I'm still dealing with this really traumatic event.
Capacity could have grown. A lot of different things. Nervous system could have regulated a lot more, but maybe there's a piece, some other pieces that are like left over.
But every time she closes her eyes and hears a certain thing or is touched in a certain way, she's right back to the visuals, the kinesthetic feelings, the representations of that rape. Yeah. And that doesn't go away through breath or, you know, embodiment practice. I'm not saying it can't. I'm sure there are people out there who maybe have gotten to that place. But I know a lot of our clients come from these fields, even being practitioners of these fields, coaches in these fields, and they have something they've not been able to shift. So I just want to get your perspective. Have you seen that? I feel like the missing piece is what we're doing in our subconscious mind. So I agree, you cannot think your way out of this. You can think you're even doing subconscious work, and what you're actually doing is consciously rehearsing again. Something we deal with in people kind
You're putting something positive on top of something that's actually still ingrained in you, right?
Yes. And so I just want to bring that piece together for people out there who might be very practiced in this and are still feeling like, yes, but.
And can I just add, there's someone that I highly respect and love their work, but something that they said, well, and they've said it a number of times on podcasts or books or whatever, is that it's like there's certain wounding, this is the languaging, that you sit with, you expand your capacity, and every day or every week or every year, you can think back to this event or this situation or this whatever, and you're constantly expanding. The languaging being, but you're always going to have to deal with, or this is always going to be a wound there. And that's where Heather and I go a little bit like, does it have to always be a wound, you know, kind of a thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's not my experience.
Yeah.
Also having come from rape experiences, not my experience at all to still be any way tied to that narrative or that belief or that being a reality in my body.
Right. Yeah. First of all, I agree with you. And I think a lot of it comes down to the words that people use to describe things. So like, even when we talk about the mind, that means different things to different people. And there's levels of the mind. And like you said, the connection, the mind body connection, I think is more intertwined than we really realize. And I'm sure your work dives like really deep into this, but how these patterns are integrated in our psychology and our physiology simultaneously. And so I do believe we have to work with it at all levels. And in this case, we're talking about the mind and body. And if we don't, it still lives somewhere. And so it's like all those people that go through these modalities that are not addressing the psycho, like what would you call it? The term like the pathways.
The pathways, programming.
The programming.
Subconscious programming.
It's still arising no matter how much their capacity is growing. And there's still a charge to it in this pathway. And so I really think, and I actually, I kind of take a five body approach, that it's actually we're healing in our physical, we're healing in our mental, we're healing in our energetic, our emotional, and our spiritual. And they all happen in very different ways. They can happen simultaneously, but they happen in different timelines. And so it's a very like convoluted understanding that we even have of like what is healing. And you know, I've thought a lot about this because I get questions like that all the time. Is like, is there ever a time when there's not a wound there at all? And so I think about it from this lens of like physical is the easiest for us to understand. Is like, if we get a cut and our body heals it perfectly, does it, the body have a knowledge, even if there's no scar visible, that like a cut was there? And I honestly don't have the answer to that. But what I do know is that we can dissolve things so much that they have no effect. Meaning like there's no effect. Like there's no effect of that cut that once happened. There's no even scar. There's no visible. I don't know at what level, but we can do... We can do so much more than a lot of people think of removing the charge that these traumatic experiences and wounds have. Because really, I mean, I believe that mind-body connection and the patterns that are rooted within it are controlling the majority, like, I don't know, 99% of people's lives, if not more.
That's what the research says.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. And so the unwinding of that in both fields, in all fields, is I think really the only way, or else you're not, it may help. And that's the thing I also like to differentiate, like when I'm doing work, especially like healing work for people, is there's a ton of modalities that help things and they move us in a direction, but there's also other ways to work at multiple levels that help a lot faster and a lot greater and do a lot better resolution than just moving us forward. And I think that's an important thing to differentiate between, is like feeling a little bit better from healing modalities versus like going to resolution, like going to the deepest part that exists and working at that level.
Mm-hmm. And I'm aware what we're in is, like you mentioned, that we do, we're in a pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. We went from nobody talks about anything to then a highly, you know, psychologist, psychiatrist, talk therapy model. And then went into a medication model, mm-hmm. and it was not working.
Yeah.
It was not working. It was dismal at best. And that is well known by everyone in that field. Mm-hmm. And I have research on that as well. And the pendulum swung at to full body, just body, mm-hmm. which the body was largely ignored before. Yep. So welcome back, body.
Yep.
And, you know, I do respect and see that we're in a pendulum swing. And my goal, and maybe this is a masculine energy happening, is like, can we just... Mm-hmm. Let's continue the conversation and be as well-rounded about the conversation as we can be, mm-hmm. because we have more brain science now, mm-hmm. that has nothing to do with talk therapy. It's mm-hmm. brain science. We can see what happens in the brain when memories are recalled and mm-hmm. consolidated and reconsolidated.
Yeah. Memories meaning, yes, like an event that happened, but memories also meaning a sensation, mm-hmm. or a feeling or a belief or a
sound, whatever. Or a smell.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like any of that. When it comes to polarity, mm-hmm. would you say that masculine, feminine, since we're talking about like, let's call it the five bodies of mm-hmm. of healing, mm-hmm. right? Or the five fields or levels or whatever. Would you say that masculine, feminine, for lack of better word, healing, mm-hmm. would be more on a spiritual field? Mm-hmm. Would it be tied to all of it? I'm just curious. Mm.
That's a good question. I think it would be tied to all of it, because I think those polarities actually exist in all the bodies. Mm. And yeah, just... they're more visible or more identifiable at different, like more dense body, like a physical body. It's obvious to identify, but I think it does exist at all. It's a good question though. Like, I really know, but even if you think about like the spiritual concept that we're both of them, mm-hmm. and all of it exists within us, we're kind of a bridge between them. And so like, even just talking about the mind body axis is a bridge between the earth, the physical feminine realm, and the ether and the sky above and the mental realm. And so we're literally the connection between the two. And so ignoring one is never going to work. And so they have to be integrated. But I don't know, to answer your question, I'll put it that way. The short answer is, I don't know, but it feels like across all bodies Okay. Mm-hmm.
Something else that I want to do, cause I'm want to be aware of what our listeners are hearing and thinking. And I know one of my big pushbacks in this work, and to begin with, was I was reading all of these books about how to be more feminine and how to be, you know, all of these different things. And my take on that was, this was years ago, why do I have to be the one? Yeah. Why do I have to be the one that changes?
Yeah.
And I do feel that that is a bit of a either perceived or realistic burden out there mm-hmm. for women mm-hmm. that feel like I'm always the one doing all mm-hmm. the work. Why am I the one that has to figure out how to be more feminine yeah. so that he can be more masculine? Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've come to some really good places in this, but for the people out there that might be perceiving that or reading, there's quite a few books out there that frankly, I had some major issues with that were for women mm-hmm. that it was like, but you're leaving out such an important part, mm-hmm. which is what happens, how much more naturally this occurs mm-hmm. in the presence of healthy masculinity. Mm-hmm. I would just love your take on that.
Yeah. Mm. I have the first thing I would say to answer your question, what came up to me was why I have to do this and like take this on, this burden, is I think that one of the saddest things from like our feminine as a whole as a culture is that it's lost connection to how truly powerful it is. And so part of the reclaiming is stepping into that power. And so power can't be handed to you. It actually has to be claimed and stepped into. And I think that's part of the journey. There's a longer answer to your question, and I'll go into it in a second. But like the short answer is I think that's actually part of the feminine wound, is like not realizing that like, wow, I am greatness. Like I am this powerful entity, and I have so much more control, is not the word I want to use, but it's like I have much more ability to affect my environment than I have been told.
Oh, we know it's in there.
I know.
And it's coming out as hustle culture.
Yeah, I know.
That's what we're trying to girl boss everything. And that is the way we're doing it.
Yeah. And I fully get it. And like my more practical answer is that it's both energies have the capacity to bring out the opposing energy in another. And so the way I think about anything is like, it's no one's duty, but it's everyone's choice. So no, it's not the collective feminine's duty to raise everyone up together. It's not the collective masculine's duty to lead everyone up together. But at any moment, any one of us can make a choice to support another or the collective in doing that. And if I can do that for another, I'm going to do that. And so when it comes to the masculine, yeah, like the feminine can only really blossom in that presence of the masculine, that structure, that safety. And yet going back to the original thing we talked about, everyone has that within them. So a huge part of the feminine journey is discovering the safe masculine within themselves that know that they can hold themselves and that can allow that to blossom and come out even in the danger of the world. And that's unfair. I know it is. Like that's an unfair thing to ask the feminine to blossom in this like crazy, harmful, chaotic, like hurtful world that a lot of people live in. And not only is it possible, but I think that's actually part of the journey, is mm-hmm. learning how to do that irrespective of what the masculine harm that's happening all around you. Because when you experience that, it shows how powerful it really is. Said no matter what harm can be coming this way, like this thing can still arise. And again, I don't think that's fair, but I think that's somehow part of this weird algorithmic journey that we're all on, is like, that's part of it. And and the same thing goes on the other side. It's like a man shouldn't need the this feminine flowering beauty to rise up to his leadership, to want to take leadership, to want to step into. He shouldn't need it, but damn, it helps. It helps a lot. Both ways. It helps so much. So it's like, if I can help, I'm going to help. Because we're all doing it together.
I think women will feel very validated hearing you say it's unfair. And I will say you're doing the other side of the validating, which is you're part of the solution.
Correct.
And the work that you and Alan and Nick are doing, you know, with 13 Pines, which is men's work. So maybe for someone who doesn't understand, because listen, I would say the majority of our women, of our audience is women, although men, I see you. Thank you for listening. For we see you showing up. But I think there is a little bit of that just women feeling like they're doing so much of the work and they're not seeing it on the other side. And I'm so grateful to have personal experience with men who are doing it. And I have seen, even in the retreat that we did, our Intimacy Awakening retreat, to be in the presence of that many men, how many do we have? Like 10 men and women and their partners, but like stepping into that, seriously, I almost give myself goosebumps just thinking about it. It's powerful. It's like tectonic plate shifting powerful. It's so amazing. And having been someone who comes from a very strong, I can do it on my own, you know, all of that, that way, there's nothing like wanting to just melt into that. And so for the people who are listening, who don't know, sum up for me, what is men's work?
So men's work is being in the presence of what I think we could universally agree on is a good man, being in the presence of not even just in one person, but a collective, like a collective community of good men.
And not a nice guy.
Not a nice guy. That's a very, great distinction. Nice is definitely not qualities of good man. It can be kind, can certainly be a quality, but the nice, do what everyone wants of you, just shapeshift into whatever you need, like that, that doesn't serve anyone. And so being in the presence of a good man and good men who embody the qualities we were talking about earlier of healthy masculinity. And I really think all that we're doing there is we're awakening the dormant part in the men that haven't touched it yet or haven't touched it in a while. They haven't been around it. And I think that's really all we're doing. And it's contagious in that, like you said, it feels so good to melt into that, whether you're man or woman, male or female. To melt into that level of leadership feels amazing. And so it's very contagious when that part is awakened in a man. It's felt. I think that the difference between like women's only work and men's only work is that men's work generally is like quieter in nature. And men in general don't talk about it as much. And it's more, they just walk in the world in a new way. They hold others in a new way. And they have a new level of perspective and awareness of their impact on others in a new way. And that can be really drastic for sure in some like really big like turnaround cases, if you will, but it can also just be really subtle. And so I think men's work is a lot quieter. And so I hear that all the time. I get interviewed in a lot of women's communities and stuff. And there is this sense that like, oh, women are doing all this stuff. And in my world, yes, that exists. And also men are too. It's just not as many like, it's just not talked about as much. And it happens in the quiet corners. It happens around a fire. It happens in four guys just sitting on a couch together and just talking about their lives. And that's all men's work. We do it in a really structured way. We have programs that guide people through it, and we have retreats. And it's only because we've been doing it for so long. We know what works, and we know what helps awaken that part in that man that's already there. And we're just speaking to it. And, you know, most men are walking through the world and no one is acknowledging that part of that man. Mm-hmm. And so men's work is only speaking to that part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, adding to that, it's been the awakening of the masculine I didn't know was healthy and there and waiting to be taught, waiting to be walked with, waiting to be held, so that I could sit in the stillness mm-hmm. and be okay mm-hmm. while also harnessing this feminine part of me that has feelings that it's okay to feel from here down, mm-hmm. that it's okay to access that stuff, and then learning to balance mm-hmm. and hold myself. Like, that's the essence of my masculine, that I can hold my feminine and be in mm-hmm. consciousness, be in awareness, be in safety mm-hmm. within myself, and then do that with other men. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know all the details, but I can definitely see what's produced and it's been really amazing. So I'm mm-hmm. so grateful for the work you guys are doing. It's important mm-hmm. work. And how would someone find you about men's work?
Yeah. 13pines.com, all spelled out.
All spelled out, the letter or the word 13. 13,
yeah, thank you. Yeah, the word 13 all spelled out, pines like the tree. And that's the men's work movement that started, which Ken's been a part of for a couple of years now. And it's myself and Alan and Nick. And yeah, we're just getting started, honestly. And so we're on a pretty big mission because we know how important this work is. And I think that the sad truth is that we can only, it's so easy to like blame what's in front of us. Like it's so easy to blame the men that are in our world right now and blame the man that's in front of us and in our relationship. But the truth is that man is a collection of a lot of ancestral wounds and trauma that have been passed down to him. And most men have not had the example. They have not had the good qualities. They haven't been initiated into what it means to be a man. And so while it is, again, well, it's not his fault, it becomes his responsibility when he becomes aware of it. And when he becomes aware that there's opportunities out there to be surrounded by good men, I think that's a calling that men answer when they're courageous enough.
And there are many good men out there.
So many.
And I did not see that before. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's another thing I'm grateful for, is that it has really helped change. Because it's one thing to change the internal narratives and to take care of any of the proof or references that we have. And then it's another thing to, which I think also allowed me to see a little bit better too, mm-hmm. but then knowing that there were people out there doing this and seeing mm-hmm. the fruit of that and mm-hmm. the proof of that, mm-hmm. because I can say, and it's always very important to me, the people I get involved with and the people I promote or that, mm-hmm. you know, we work with, that I see the fruit behind their platforms. Mm-hmm. That's so important to me. And I can say beyond a shadow of a doubt, I haven't had the pleasure to meet Nick yet, but Alan, you, mm-hmm. the work that Kent's done, you know, has just been so amazing. It works. It's worth it. I would send any man I know to see you guys. So thank you. Thank you for meeting what you needed to meet inside of you to get to the point where you could help lead other men in that way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I really appreciate it. I'm sure we could talk about so many other things, and we might just have to have you back because I'm sure we're going to have follow-up questions. Is there anything you feel that's important, someone out there listening, from what we've said that maybe we didn't cover yet?
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground today. I will like double tap on one of the last things that I just said there around like blame and responsibility. And I think that if we want to see the world in a different light, we really have to shift this idea of like finger pointing, and this, it's really the victim mentality, the triad of savior, perpetrator, victim. And if we really want to shift things in our life, we have to step outside of that. And to step outside of that, it means to take responsibility for ourselves and that which we care about and we call ours. And when we do that, when we take responsibility, we still mess up and we still make errors and we're not perfect. And this goes for both men and women. But if we can allow ourselves a little bit of, allow ourselves and allow others a little bit of grace in their journey as it's messy, as it's uncomfortable, we'll allow much more of the healthy feminine, healthy masculine to arise. And so I just wanted to double click on just the parts of ourselves that want to shut people down or cancel people or blame people or just like beat people down when something shows up that we don't like, and realize that we're all on our journey. And the best we can do is do the best for ourselves and to try to model that the best we can, and really, really own that we're in this together. And the more against energy we do, the more it's going to hold everyone back. And so I really do firmly believe that taking this stance of, yeah, do it for myself, take responsibility for myself, take responsibility for others where I can, and also have a little bit of grace for others as they're on their journey. Because I've seen and heard like the darkest of shit from people and like what they've done and what they've experienced. And yet I've always also seen the light in that same person on the other side.
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the work you're doing, for joining us, for being with us today. Yeah. And yeah, we really are grateful for knowing you.
Yeah.
And your work.
Thank you both.
Yeah. And thank all of you for joining us once again on the Mind Change Podcast, where we are changing the world one mind at a time.